wouldn't it? Do yourself a favor. Get a mind transplant. Listen to independent radio, the alternative media in general. This is Ward Churchill saying have a nice day.
Well, we thank you, Ward, and he was quite proud to pleased to help the cause by knocking out that little PSA there. Now, on the phone with us, Bohemian Grove, those cutthroats and thieves that control these wars and dastardly deeds around the world, are having their big club where they decide to throw away care. In a time when a global warming is happening, they're in charge and they're going to throw away care. So on the phone with us is a spokesperson for, Paul, are you working with the overall alliance or just the Green Party angle of Bohemian Grove this week?
No, we came on to kind of inherit the action this time around. There's been a series of different hosts, and this time the Green Party decided to help by being the sponsor.
Oh, shouldering. Yeah, all right. Well, that's a good idea. Yeah, nobody wants to get burned out for too long. So, yeah, it's good to have the join in. All right. So, tell us what's going on. We get the whole weekend lined up, right? So, it's Friday through Sunday. Anybody can come up at any time and join in the
That's right.
Outrage.
They know where Monterio is, which is west of Santa Rosa. You take, for instance, you could take Highway 12 out of Sebastopol, and then it gets you to the Bodego Highway, and then it gets you up to the Bohemian Grove. And then you go through Occidental, and then you hit Monterio. Monterio is a very small little town, and everything is pretty much within a short walking distance of each other. We're going to be having events at the gate, at the amphitheater there, and also we'll be having some gatherings at the parking lot, so, you know, one way or another. We're going to be there Friday when everybody – we're going to start being there when the bohos themselves start showing up, and we'll start a vigil somewhere after noon on Friday and just kind of go on there till we – Till dusk. Hopefully we can get a drum circle going in honor of Mickey Hart, who's inside, who's joined the Bohos this year, or last year, I think. And so he's one of them, and we thought maybe we'd try and lure him out with a drum circle.
Yeah, there you go. You know, it's funny.
And we might try a drum circle on Saturday, too, but Saturday's going to be the busy day. That's the day when we're asking people to come up there about 11. You go to the parking lot, which is across from the beautiful Quonset Hut Monterio Theater, and there's a parking lot there. We'll have a whole bunch of stuff in that parking lot here and there. It's not to mention there'll be a farmer's market there. So, and then we'll walk from there to the gate, which is not very far away. It's on Bohemian Avenue, so a scenic little walk across the bridge, a long bridge, and then duck down to where the line of police will be waiting.
You can't miss the place, yeah. Hey, so tell me, I was reading the press release here. It said it's 123 years that these guys have been going. Have they always been? See, I don't know if I learned this in a history book or if it's that these fat cats essentially found some, there were like some nice bohemians that put together a nice little club 123 years ago. And Harvey Firestone and who was it? Edison used to hang around with Firestone and
Jack London. I mean, Twain was an honorary member, and in the early days, they were sort of Western Bohemianism meant something in a certain way, and they were like San Franciscans, and
right. They
had a lot of interest in the visual arts.
So, yeah, but in this case, the Fat Cats bought the reputation, and for decades, it had a clean reputation, even though it's been this den of thieves for the last, what do you think, 75 or 100 years out of 123 years?
Yeah, well, we're mostly concerned. I mean, we got concerned. I mean the whole Bohemian Grove protest organization began getting concerned only for the first one was 1980, which makes this one 25th anniversary of the radical concern over the Bohemian Grove, and that was primarily due to G. William Dumhoff, you know, the man who wrote Two Rules America,
And
he devoted a whole book to the Bohemian Grove.
Okay, I never read
thesis,
it. So,
of course, is a power elite thesis that. It always means something.
Hey, take your time.
When the rich and powerful white men get together and talk to each other. It's not like they can ever sit together and just have a casual conversation about the arts.
You know, Paul, we got as much time. If you want to elaborate on a couple of good examples, you can have it.
We know that they began. I mean, I'm not sure exactly. I would imagine that during the Roosevelt administration. The people were laying low. The fat cats, as you call them, as they are. Because I've been taking a page out of Will Churchill, who started this whole thing off on your show, by calling them the Big and Little Eichmanns on the River. This is how I've redubbed this one. So we have those guys.
They've had white collar mercenaries for. If you ever read the, what was it, the Count of Monte Cristo? You know, they've had white collar mercenaries as long as there's been a Cardinal Richelieu. You know, there've been the.
Oh yeah, well look at the economic hitman who's quite famous now.
Sure. Yeah.
Perkins, John Perkins, who speaks for a whole class of white collar mercenaries who go in before the jackals go in.
Yeah,
and the people that are in before the jackals, and they're the kind of like the pre jackal elite.
Yeah,
for quite a while, you know. And you know, the thing that impressed me the most as far as their record of events that they've done is they more or less scoped out the Manhattan Project during a Bohemian Grove get together in one summer. And of course, the Manhattan Project was the project that not only invented the atomic bomb, but put together the entire national security state. I mean, in all its pieces, they put together this fantastic apparatus, which then ultimately the first person before G. William Dumhoff was good old C. Wright Mills. And C. Wright Mills wrote a fabulous book called The Power Elite. And he, in 1951 or 52, somewhere in that early 50s, he saw quite clearly what had happened in the United States with the creation of the Manhattan Project national security state. He saw that there was really a tripartite elite that ran the country. One was the political duopoly, as we call it now, the Democrats and Republicans. The other one was the generals, and the other one was the corporate executives. So this kind of like three-fingered
white-collar mercenaries, yeah.
Power elite was more or less running things, and
yeah.
he hardly got the ink dry in that book before we had Eisenhower, you know, telling us about the military-industrial complex. So by the end of the 50s, we were all getting pretty clear about what had begun to happen, and then you had, of course, later you had Kennedy being killed with his recognition of the power elite. That's how many of us see it. So the power elite really is a real entity with a real agenda and a tremendous collection of casual places that they go to, as well as some very formal organizations like, you know, the famous Councils on Foreign Relations and the Bilderberg and so on. But they do have important places like the Bohemian Grove, and I guess maybe one of their best, because what could be nicer than spending a couple weeks in the summer amongst the redwoods in Northern California? I mean, that's a pretty nice little perk. To be one of the power elite destroying the world. I mean,
these guys have been doing it forever. And you know, if you look at it, what did they say before the American Civil War? That the British and a bunch of, well, Stanton was a pretty ugly character in that, but they had that the British through the Hazard letter had promised to fund the South if it broke free from the North. And then, Lincoln figured it out, and he decided he'd do some sanctions against Britain, and they decided to give it up real quick, and so they left the South bankrupt before a shot was fired, virtually, and so that war just dragged on forever. It didn't have to drag on one more bullet, you know, one bullet in the first place, but they were too proud to. Too vain to admit an error. You know, I was able to sneak in a call to Kojo and Nande's show the other day. These guys have been able to bait and switch the war on terror. So, for example, you have, you know, 75 different types of terrorism, you know, husbands getting even with a jealous wife, you know, kind of horrible, utter terrorism, you know, it usually ends up with a murder-suicide in it. So, you know, you got family feuds, and you got all these different kinds. Oh, here comes Don. So,
you're talking about the South.
I'm talking worldwide.
I was reading a biography of Patrick Henry.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the American Revolution in its anti-elitist perspective, the whole concept here was to throw out the British aristocracy, because what our side was struggling against, which were pretty much aristocrats on their own style. I mean, the Washingtons, Patrick Henrys, and the Jeffersons all came from really kind of feudal lifestyles of the worst type. But nonetheless, it could even get worse, because things were operated by this British aristocratic elite, and they were quite a heavyweight on everyone, because they did absolutely nothing. Well, at least our own slaveholders were doing some kind of tasks. I mean, they were out there working. whereas the British aristocracy was just sort of like stuck on their throat as kind of like a leech.
Yeah, right. And they were lazy leeches,
out that,
too.
Throwing out that group, really, we begin this country in a very populist, democratic kind of framework, I think we could say very clearly this is the dominant framework of our society, as opposed to what has been forced upon us, which is now, as we see it at the Bohemian Grove, an extremely elitist society in which the rich are getting richer and the powerful have less and less ways to be brought to justice. I mean, for instance, if Karl Rove escapes, I mean, there's a whole bunch of little turns we're about to take in history to whether or not we're going to have any accountability amongst our so-called leadership here, you know. And the Bohemian Grove is a great place that's not a great place. It's just that here we're having like Davos or the Bilderberg right in our own community. It's real difficult, I think, to turn our backs on that and say, oh, let's just ignore the fact that the thickest level of the elite society is meeting and having all kinds of little famous little lakeside chats in which they're kind of told what's in store, you know, checking out the public opinion amongst the elite to see how they like this new Iranian war, or maybe it's an invasion of Cuba, maybe it's a police state that they're planning on putting into play with an emergency declaration. I mean, we don't know exactly what the basic plan is, but they do. I mean, they're getting a feel for it, and they're beginning to talk to each other about it, seeing how the rest of the elite likes this new idea.
Hey, Paul, this is Don.
You can expect that kind of thing is happening. Will be happening this, you know, next weekend, starting next weekend.
Hey, Don just walked in.
I just wanted to respond to what Paul said, because this is real interesting. Because the Bohemian Grove offers a chance to get the most, I would say. How much of the wealth of the nation would you say is represented at the Grove? About 80% or more? Maybe more than, I don't know, but in one place, in those just few thousand men, 2,000 members of them, a lot of those are men of use, the musicians and the performers and stuff like that. Only a real small number of that, 2,000, is actually the men who actually have that kind of control on the world in terms of having access, controls of the purse strings, controls of the military, control of the legal apparatus, the economic apparatus, and the political apparatus. I mean, these guys, have it all. They've gained it all. They've tricked us, when they couldn't do anything else. But now they're all just in this little encampment up a quarter of a mile up the road. And I think that if people come out to these events, they'll feel empowered by that. Like, why are there so many of us and so few of them? If indeed there are so many of us, which I believe there's going to be a lot of people coming out. And all of them is not them. The capital them that we talk about, all of the Bohemians are not them. And some of the Bohemians may be anti-them, and we might have room even for other Bohemians. I don't know,
It's pretenders.
Can we offer out any hope for this whole sector of society, or are they also bought into mammon?
Well, anybody that really thinks that the ecosystem can be controlled by a cadre of people.
But it says so in the Bible. It says God gave creation to man to his control, all that stuff. Hey, you got to read the Bible.
Much more to do with stewardship, making, keeping stuff maintained, rather than these guys are raping and pillaging, and then they're saying sciences don't mean anything.
And they're pretending like they've actually paid attention all this time, and then they say they're going to burn care. When actually, like you said earlier on, criminal carelessness is more like their MO. I mean, they live on criminal carelessness.
That's so called reckless endangerment.
It's such an irony that they would dare just get together and burn care. I mean, it's like Hitler getting together and burning compassion. I mean, it's like, hey guy, you don't have any.
It really is.
Not to use Hitler as in vain or anything like that, But I mean, I do like to call them the big and little Eichmanns, because I think it does reverberate. And I think it's quite true what Don's saying, that not everybody there is a big or little Eichmann. Many people are there because they're foolish. They like what's happening. They like to hang out with the rich and famous. They think they're going to be rich and famous. And they haven't committed any major crimes other than maybe cheat when the high school election happened and they became president of the class or something. But, they probably got off pretty much painlessly in terms of their hands being clean.
Well, one thing they have proved is that they can play the game.
But they
and
can play the
that's,
game, yeah.
That
and they
can play the game. These are the winners
when
of the game.
Deny, when
These
to,
are the
when to go into repression. When they know how to keep ignorant when it's necessary.
Well, they're using misappropriation of funds in playing the game, Don. I mean, it's like pretty clear that
well,
it's
they
bait
make the
and
rules.
Switch.
I mean, these are
they
the guys
make
that
the
make
rules.
The rules.
They
to
steal
the
money.
They go, oh, sure they do. They went when
they got the attorney general. They're going
when
for
the stock
court,
market
you know?
Went belly up in the mid '80s. They went and shut down the stock market for a week and rewrote the rules. What has the stock market done? It's gone from 1,000 to pushing 11,000. You know, soon it'll get up to you know, will it get up to 20 or will it bust again down to 4 and then get you know, and then they'll make a bunch of money while the whole it's a Ponzi scheme. You know, it's like
right.
This,
yeah.
It's
well, that's why
Ponzi
Jubilee
scheme.
Makes much more sense. You know, the idea of just canceling yeah. the money that they
say
they own.
I was being kind of facetious when I was talking about you know that some of these guys might. I mean, I don't know. I have a hard time thinking that they're all as cold blooded as that. But I know that making money, the desire for money, and it really is. Talk about ritual. You just went through the whole Pope thing. You know, every time you see a military funeral, look at the pomp and circumstance in that. So do these guys believe in ritual? You know, they say they don't. They say the cremation of care is a little ditty to get the thing started, and they don't take it seriously that they put on red hooded robes and that they carry a coffin containing dull care to the base of a 40-foot owl-shaped altar and burn it alive. Of course, it escapes in the end, and it laughs itself into the forest, and care is seen as this real ucky creature instead of, like, care. You know, care should be something that should be a
well,
sacred
they say they're in
being,
charge.
You know?
They say they're in charge. They're managing our lives. Yeah, and then for a certain amount of time, they abandon care. Now, if they claim that they're Christians, Muslims, believers in any god of...
They're believers in mammon.
Well, this idea of the... there's this old parable, or not... Well, there's a passage in there about... I don't remember if it's Jesus or Moses is asked, well, what about a poor man getting drunk? And he said, well, a poor man can get drunk because he's got a lot to worry about. But a rich man has decided that he's in charge. And so he's got to take care of all of our lives. And he doesn't get a chance. 24 hours a day, he's on duty. So the more you take on, the more you're taking on the responsibility of other people's lives. You say you're going to manage the food source. You say you're going to manage the water source. You say you're going to manage the transportation and the safety and the this, that, and the other. And then they say, oh, science doesn't happen anymore. Oh, and by the way, economics doesn't happen either. And by the way, we own everything and you better shut up. So they're bullshit artists straight from the start, and we were essentially born into it, and we have to agree that our grandfather's numbers that they got cheated out of are valid numbers before we can move on.
Yeah, we're increasingly the subject of type A personalities with low self-esteem that can only measure themselves by the value of their portfolio.
Sure, but in the real case, you know, the ecosystem. You know, and the ecosystem has its own valuation.
The ecosystem has, yeah, it has no value to them because it doesn't fit into a portfolio. You know, they talk about, I mean, I was at a Senate hearing, state Senate hearing the other day on a million solar roofs the other day. And what, you know, and somebody, one of the senators testifying said something about, and laughably saying, well, this kind of takes I usually don't use this word, but holistic approach to things. He kind of spit this word holistic out as if it was a dirty word, but he said in this case it makes sense because it does, you know, bring a lot of things together. And these guys don't have, they hate the word holistic, and yet everything works together. We are a web of life whether we like it or not.
Well, buy low, sell high.
And buy low, sell
high. Holistic doesn't work in a, buy low, sell high doesn't work in a holistic system.
No, it doesn't.
It's a theft
Population
against reality.
Control works against that, you know, because if we take away the, if we take away the people, we take away the sales. Do we want to really mess with the balance of the scales? You know, I've got a whole song about it. You'll have to hear it one of these days.
Yeah. So, okay, both of you, who's going to run down what's happening and who's and
let me say that the Sunday thing. We didn't mention the Sunday thing, but I just heard a rumor from our music the guys managing our music that Stevie Miller was going to come and play at our Sunday event. We're having an event in the amphitheater in Monterey, which is real easy to find. It's behind the fabulous Pink Elephant Bar.
Steve Miller, huh? The Steve Miller, or is this just another
so
Steve
on.
Miller?
We got, we'll be there from 10 to 6 Steve on Miller. Sunday, the 17th. So Stevie Miller, of course, is one of the early members of the Bohemian Grove. He joined it some time back, along with a couple of these Grateful Dead guys. So it would be interesting if he came over from the dark side and actually played for us. But I tend to think that it was actually just a confusion that somebody had found out that he was a Bohemian and
not
and
to hold a meeting
it,
on.
So they pretended that to their mind readjusted it so that he was coming to play for us against the Bohemians.
Yeah,
so,
I don't know. Not to hold
on the other
a meeting
hand, it'd be
on.
Nice It would be nice if he was coming.
Yeah, not to hold a meeting on the air, but I would have a concern about that because we don't want to give our event over to them so that they could, like, in a good-natured way. I mean, they can be very entertaining people. I've met some of them. They've sung in front of us and all that stuff. They can be entertaining. And he may have come over from the dark side. I don't know. Maybe, you know, I mean, we might make an allowance this one time. But I'd be worried about them just starting to send out all their star power at us to try to discourage what we're trying to do. A little bit. So I don't know. That's just a concern. I think I would welcome him with open arms if he was really there from sincerely talking about what he learned inside and how we might be able to get through somehow or around or whatever.
Yeah, well, it makes sense. I mean, if dark side is essentially violating the ecosystem, anybody that thinks that you can do strip mining, clear cutting, global warming, don't worry about it. Jesus and the angels will be here shortly to clean it up, like room service.
Yeah, we'll be dead by then. That's what they say. You know, we'll just take ours now and we'll be dead by then. That has been heard.
Well, you know, I keep
people inside.
Unfortunately, I deal with a lot of this neocon radio, and these people are seriously talking about if we get a little global warming, we get a little more air conditioning.
Right.
And it's like, right. Oh, God, you're really bright, man. And it's like, wow, these people are.
Forget about that sheet of ice up in the North Atlantic. You know.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, these people are delusional. You know, you can have one windstorm rip the holy crap out of a lot of stuff. You know, you get some 150-mile-an-hour winds in the wrong time.
That's the rule. Yeah. And it really, you know, that is. And so that's why the storms are getting worse. So, yeah, they don't. I mean, they're affected by the storms too, presumably, but, you know, and they've got insurance, they own the insurance company, so they're probably making mints on there every time a storm comes.
They'll essentially delude themselves before spending a dime to clean it up. See, that's what the problem is. In honest economics, you have a world where the money, you know, it's a give and take arrangement. And that you don't have some company based in New York come down to your county in South Carolina, rip the shit out of the top of the mountain and split. And by the way, you get nothing and a whole bunch of cancer.
Oh, then why does that happen?
Well, that's what I'm saying. These guys are the ones that are doing it. And anybody who says that they're in charge is lying to us and to them. Yeah. You know, because anybody
Nation tribes to get at their land on their under their first it was the oil, then it was the coal, then it was the uranium. Been doing that for
they're just
years,
delusional, man. They can't live in a penthouse. Penthouses are just as dangerous as bunkers, you know. And they're delusional. They may survive longer, but that's about all.
It's
all
about
be survival.
Privatization. That's what these men have done down through history is to privatize the earth, and we've privatized it away from the native people, and now we're privatizing it away from the taxpayers.
Yeah, once they get rid of the slaves, then they're going to have to do the work.
Just heard that about Halliburton, Kellogg Brown and Root just may build another $18 billion to the government to feed the army and stuff like that, and sell them gas at inflated prices.
Sure.
You know, Bechtel Power Corporations making money hand over fist.
You'd be embarrassed in 20 years to admit you let it happen, yeah.
The only reason our troops are over there are because if our troops weren't there, our corporations wouldn't get paid.
Yeah. You know. Hey, you want to do that song? Are you still on the line there with us, Paul?
I'm here.
Here you go. Yeah, we heard you were on another phone line, so I turned your mic down. So,
I had to mute out there for a second.
So, are you able to get us online? You're listening.
Yeah, I got it. It was fine. Actually, it was streaming away. I was pretty good. I don't usually work anything trickier than on and off. You know.
Yeah, we're pretty proud of this little station. So, hey, once you listen in, I'm gonna Don was gonna sing his brand new song. What's this one called again?
This one's called the I'm not sure decided on the title, but the concept is. It's about Mammon and Moloch. Mammon, you know, of course, being the god of, like, greed, you know, the seven deadly sins, you know, that Dante talked about in the Inferno, and other people have mentioned him, I think, a time or two. And Moloch, which was, I believe, a Babylonian god to which childhood sacrifices were made. So this is a song I wrote about Mammon and Moloch, the feeling that this cremation of care so much impacts as a real ritual against the earth and a ritual in favor of the kind of things, the worst of the dark side that we can think about in Darth Vader. It's really sad, and it's immaturity, but, you know, you look at frat-type situations and fraternity activity and even the Skull and Bones and see what these guys do. When you get kind of here, look under the covers and see what goes on behind the scenes, that's some pretty weird shit that goes, you know. So anyway, so this is really blues from the ground up. This is a guitar I discovered. The slide is made of a used tequila bottle here, a little tequila bottle a friend of mine laid on me. I don't do that much, but I've joined at the hand, sending our kids off to the promised land. Yeah, they're making lots of money, killing lots of kids. Yeah, they like the way things are going. Preaching killer sexes, yeah. Yeah, we've been into Iraq, may go to Iran, getting farther away from Afghanistan. Yeah, we're going to Syria, maybe Egypt too. Yeah, unless North Korea stops us, you know, telling what we'll do. Yeah, we're making lots of money and killing lots of kids. Yeah, they like the way things are going, preaching killer sexes, yeah. Yeah, there it is. It's called Careless Excess, actually. I remember now. All right.
Well, we just recorded it, so we'll put it on. This will be part of the interview. By the way, yeah, so Paul, we'll have this as an interview. Just go to indiebay.org, and you can see it on the interview section. And so you can listen to it and email it around for what's going on. So let's let these people know what's going on. So you got the lineup?
Yeah, well, let's see. We've got a few things going on. You want to talk about Saturday, and then I'll talk about, well, Friday is the greeting, obviously. We're going to greet them in Monte Rio. All of these are going to be happening in Monte Rio, which is at the intersection of Highway 116 and Monte Rio and Bohemian Highway, about 4 miles west of Guerneville along the Russian River up in Sonoma County. On Friday and Saturday, we'll be gathering at the parking lot across from the Rio Theater, as Paul mentioned earlier, adjacent to the bridge across the Russian River there that goes into the Monte Rio downtown. On Sunday, we'll be at the amphitheater downtown Monte Rio, across the street from the fire station and behind the Pink Elephant Bar. So, Paul, you want to talk about, the greeting is sort of unofficial. We're just going to get people out to strategic areas, mostly for us to meet are, kind of get acquainted as people who are opposed to what's going on, greet the Bohemians in sort of a friendly but firm manner, you know, like, you know, we'll let people decide how they want to do that, as long as they're following some sort of a good taste and we won't go any farther.
Hey, you know what? I was thinking of a sign saying, "Welcome, Satan."
Welcome, Satan. Well, see, again, you know, name calling. Well, I accept it as being, you know, kind of.
Welcome, Big and Little Eichmanns. That's all.
Big and Little Eichmanns. You know that one.
I seen it got them pretty pissed off when Ward Churchill first said that. That got them pretty upset that they would dare call anybody a Little Eichmann. You know, so. They don't believe their hands are clean because they all do little pieces instead of the big job, and the guys that do the big job. They don't need to ask, tell anybody anything.
We can trot out the phrase white-collar mercenary when they start to get asked about it. That way we'll gain two more weeks on it.
White collar mercenaries.
Yeah, now we keep that one.
The nice thing to tell people is, of course, that one of the things we're trying to do is one of the things we seem to have accomplished. One of our ambitions was to be able to kind of keep ourselves together and do something at the same that they are doing inside. That is, hang out in our leisure time and also have a chance to talk to each other. So we've been able to score this wonderful place about a little bit more than a mile north of Guerneville, where we could probably park 50 cars and camp 100 people. And so people that come to the event on Friday at dusk, we'll be starting to look around for where we're going to go and go back to. And also the people that come to the event on Saturday night will be able to get lodging amongst ourselves. So we'll have this kind of a community of antagonism and pro-social behavior. So
you know,
nice for us to stay together after the Friday and the Saturday event.
Building community, that's what it's all about. That's what they've been doing.
Plot and scheme and think and talk amongst each other and so on.
You know how they're into toll roads and privatization of everything? When do you think Monte Rio is going to privatize their road into there and charge them $100,000 a foot to drive across it?
a little land use tax.
The day after, they don't mind being cluster bombed, you know.
Well, that said, I mean, they can't even go to their own camp without having to put up with turmoil. This whole idea of immaturity like this, burning care, I think that's a really good, strong point. These guys are – I was watching Tony Blair this morning. You know, they had the G8 summit, and they got the press conference. And you look at Tony Blair, and he's standing there. This guy is, like, deep in murder. You know, it's like what's it, Hamlet's wife, you know, elbow deep in murder and all this sort of thing. And
now he's trying to get some payback, and ain't none coming from the Bush man.
Yeah, and it's like, here's this guy, and he's la 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 la. We're just going to change the world's economy. Okay, everything's smooth. La 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 la. And it's amazing to look at it because you realize the scope of everything that's going in there. And he's just, you know, been bombed yesterday, and he's la 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 about he's burning care already. He's been fucking burning care ever since he's been in office. You know, there's hospitals are still getting shut down in England, and you know, daycare centers got defunded a long time ago, and you know, all this sort of stuff. So they you know, all of the reality, the clinics and the you know, opportunities, taking care of the parks and the ecosystem and the, you know, species management and all this sort of thing, they're just, you know, they're keeping the money and not doing anything with it. And then while they set a standard of that, then they go and burn care. So you talk about bizarre behavior that we would allow our self-preservation to be put in the hands of idiots.
Yeah,
but
put
then
everybody on wage slavery
off.
And then control everything that's sold to them, you know. It's like you get them both going and coming, you know. And don't get me going, but and then the point of Saturday will be to, you know, express the anger and the hope that we have. You know, we're planning a you know, the protest and the resurrection of care, and we have a tribal chief from the Pitt River Nation,
you got the list.
Yeah, I have.
So what else? What's coming up on Sunday? Well, he's thinking of
Mickey Gemmel, tribal chief for the Pitt River Nation. So he's going to be doing the resurrection of care for us. That'll be Saturday, and then Sunday is the discussion.
That's up near the Russian River. Is it polluted up there? Do those bastards pollute it so you can't even swim in it while we're up there?
Just don't jump off the bridge. That's the main thing. Well, they're loaded with Eel River water, so it's not too. It's pretty deep. Mm-hmm. But I was there. We were there yesterday, and it was people were boating on it and camping, you know, by it. And it looks pretty nice. I mean, it's a big, broad river, and the beaches all around Monte Rio are quite big.
Yeah, it's not all treacherous, right?
Big, and so
it's not a treacherous river.
No, I think
I would hesitate to
some parts of it, maybe, or
to put my entire body underneath the water. But
what is it, toxic or? Toxic?
No, it's still a little higher than
Lake in California, which is totally polluted. I mean, at least you don't see a lot of boats with motors on it, you know.
Yeah,
it's still a little higher and a little colder than normal, you know, from late snow runoff and stuff like that. But the level's coming down. Apparently, it's in relatively safe levels. A few weeks ago, people were drowning all over the place there. But now I think it seems okay. I think they've got the summer dams up and everything like that that slows some of the flow. and makes it harder to take a motorized vehicle around. You can barely get through on a canoe. Believe me, I've tried. There's some places that are ankle deep. You got to pull through 100 yards of gravel before you can get back into get on your thing. But it's a good event, and it's a summer kind of event, the kind of place that people might go to on a weekend anyway. And this way, you can go and it's like it's not the DC Mall, it's not some other places where the power elite gathers. They're gathering here among the people, so to speak, along the Russian River, and we should go and deal with them, talk to them, find out, look at them, look at this just small group of men that have all this power, and try to figure out what we can do about it.
Yeah, we have a list of the ones that were there last year. And love it doesn't mean much to me because I'm not that hip to who the latest president of big corporation, what his name is. But I think it might be worthwhile. Probably at some point we'll get the list of who's there this year too. But I think that that's one thing that Dumhoff did pretty nicely in the book he wrote in 74, was that he tracked everybody, and we could do it even easier by computer now, where you could put the name in there and find out what their interlocking directorates were, particularly people that are in camps like where old Daddy Bush is in Rumsfeld, and a couple of Bechtels and some other nefarious characters. I think Kissinger's in that one too, called the Hillbilly Camp. It would be nice to just go through a camp or two and just see who exactly is hanging out amongst the high and mighty. And
check out Mandalay Camp.
Dumhoff.
Yeah, check out Mandalay Camp.
And major institutions of control in America, and he ran these names through the names of the ones he had back in the 70s, and ran them through his little analysis, and found, of course, interlocking directories everywhere you went, and big groups, Greek chunks everywhere. This group of elitists that meet here in Monterio, you'll find their names in big clusters in every major, governmental or corporate elite gathering. Some of these agents, I should get my book and just read you some of the agencies that he tracked them through. They might be familiar to some people. I'm not a sociology of California power or even national power in the sense of tracking their clubs.
Well, of course, the CIA has always been well represented.
They're pretty nice,
The CIA has always been well represented, of course, with several CIA. Heads, including the Bushes, George Bush and his grandparents and all that stuff that were before then that helped found the Central Intelligence Agency, so the secret societies have been big. Central Intelligence Agency, Skull and Bones are well represented, in Bohemian circles. Those are two circles that have that kind of elitism. And then they work out larger and larger, to the larger organizations, the different business organizations and stuff like Business Roundtable, all the security agencies, all the alphabet soups of security agency people, I think, are probably pretty ensconced there. Another person who will be speaking Sunday at our event, starting at 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the amphitheater. We're going to have some speakers and some music. One of the speakers is going to be Peter Phillips. He teaches at Sonoma State University. He is director of the Center for, what is it, this
what's that center he's in?
The Center for now I'm spacing out on it, but
it's the one that puts out the ten most neglected stories of the month, of the year.
Oh yeah,
it's quite a popular
Project Censored.
Project Censored, right? Yeah, sorry about that.
What the media has been studiously ignoring, the major stories that they're studiously ignoring.
So he's going to be one of the speakers, and he did his.
That's it, Peter Phillips, right?
Peter Phillips. He did his thesis.
People up here know him because he's the progressive. He puts out a newspaper, a very nice newspaper, too, the North Bay Progressive.
Right. And he also did his doctoral thesis on the Bohemian Grove, so he's going to be talking about some of that, too, as well. And so that's a little bit later information. I'm sure he used Dumhoff as one of his textbooks and was inspired by Dumhoff, who we had speak a few years ago at a teach-in. We've had some amazing...
Dumhoff was inspired by these dumb coughs, right?
Yeah, Dumhoff by the dumb coughs, yeah.
So, well, you know, you can see, you can put G. William Dumhoff in your search engine, and you'll find your way to his site. And he has an essay, a large essay, 25 pages long, updating his Bohemian Grove stuff. So it's a very, if people want to go and read some of that, they can go check out the latest essay, and it sort of summarizes some of the best points from his book, Who Rules America, and the Bohemian Club book. It's kind of a good summary of his take.
I'll go check that out. G. William Dumhoff, Domhoff.
You know, when I if you'll get me the specifics on that, when I post this audio file tonight, I'll put that as one of the web links. And is that hooked up with the green? Let's see, the website for
tonight,
this year.
We have a green web link, too. I wonder if I have it.
Yeah, give the website address. Give the website address so listeners can know.
I know that one. That's cagreens.org/Bohemia with a capital B dot HTML.
So cagreens.org/Bohemia dot HTML?
HTM.
Okay. Yeah. And did you say it has to be capitalized?
Bohemia? The B has to be capitalized. I'm pretty sure the B must. I think it has to read exactly as the title.
Well, you know, if I remember right, I went to greens.org, and they might even have like an article on the front page.
Yeah,
leading
it has an article that starts on the front page, so you can click from greens.org if you lose the, and it'll take you to the HTML.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a good background in that on the website now for that, and the Bohemia one, which is a fact sheet there, and Peter Phillips' essay, and some writing of Don's, some writing of mine, and some other stuff. So we try to pack some stuff on, not make it too much of a cob website.
Yeah. Hey, so Don, have you got a second song you're about to knock through?
No, my guitar is all tuned open. Let's see, do I have another song I can do in an open tuning? Nothing that's really appropriate to the thing. No, I'll have to wait. I'll bring a better guitar next time.
All right. Hey, anything you want to add there, Paul? What else is going on up your way? Anything you want San Francisco to know about what's going on up toward Monte Rio?
This is the world you're letting know.
Well, yeah. I just want San Francisco to know that Santa Rosa is not very far away. I mean, Santa Rosa is, I'm coming down from Garberville Redway in southern Humboldt, northern Mendocino, and I'm doing a 150-mile ride and taking me 3 hours, really, to get through all that crap. But actually, from San Francisco, you can go sweeping right up. Go to Santa Rosa, get on 12 through Sebastopol, and bang, you're in a really worthwhile resort area. I mean, it matches up with the Mendocino Coast. It matches up with our own Avenue of the Giants. So it's just a nice, pleasant. I mean, it's a great, pleasant place to show up. And when you figure that we're putting an accent on free camping, as I've been saying, free food, free camping, free speech. So,
hey, wasn't
you can turn that down? You know,
you read Ecotopia a bit, right?
Pardon me?
You've read Ecotopia? Ecotopia?
Right, that's what you're saying there.
Yeah, the name of the book, Ecotopia. And,
Ecotopia, I've read it, sure, yeah.
Sure, yeah. And doesn't that very area you're talking about, aren't there like a whole bunch of solar streetcar kind of things that run from town to town in that book from all the coastline, which you're just Garberville? I don't know if it was named Garberville, maybe like Ukiah and Eureka, and they had a solar streetcar that ran to Vegas and Sacramento and San Francisco, where Ecotopia broke away from the rest of them dumbasses.
Well, don't we wish? I mean, there's many schemes to break our district away from the larger. We talk about it all the time. Actually, it's one of our. We're a bunch of survivalists up here, you know, fantasy survivalists. So we're always hoping for the breakdown in transportation and the global economy. You know, the global economy, which these guys really serve quite both militarily and corporately, is basically always a luxury economy. That's really what the global economy is all about, is about luxury products. And what makes the global economy so destructive now is that they've attached a mass society to it, so to speak.
Right.
They've attached mass consumption habits to what's essentially a luxury economy, and the planet can't handle it, really. And,
making caviar by the quart, yeah. So some fish has got to give up its birthright just so somebody can have a few pounds of caviar.
The dark ages are dark only because you turn out the lights at night rather than keep them on all night like they do in the big city, you know.
Yeah, they're bizarre. They've always been bizarre, and they've finally almost eaten up the whole planet. And they're going to go out with their lawyers telling them, admit nothing. And admitting nothing means that none of it ever gets cleaned up. So they leave this testament of, you know, ruin. I mean, all of the pollution from all of these cheap products. You know, you imagine 800-year-old redwood tree cut down and they make lawn furniture in it that is so flimsy. It's like cheap aluminum lawn furniture with chunks of redwood on it. And then a fat guy sits on it. It's broken the same afternoon. 800-year-old tree thrown in a dumpster. You know, you just, it's creepy, you know, how stupid they are. And that's why, I mean, I mentioned it earlier, the idea of Jubilee, where the people have got to abandon the crazy numbers. They just, you know, if Washington, D.C. or London or someplace is telling us that we're supposed to spend money, you know, a certain way just because some twit got it in his head that, you know, and that's the madness of King George, you know, and that's why we broke free from 1776. Well, now these crazy nuts have every weird delusion they go through, or every evil plot they sign on to, we have to pay for. You know, because we're Americans. We pay taxes toward whatever crazy crap they dream up. And so in 1770, well, 1812, and it was like 1777 or 8 when they had to, you know, Washington was freezing at Valley Forge because the British had created so many counterfeit Continentals that he couldn't pay the troops. Nobody believed the money anymore. It was money was not worth a Continental. And that was because it was counterfeited by the British, and so they had to change out the money. So, you know, that's what we got to do today, and we just got to change out the money. And these fat cats keep telling us, oh, yeah, it looks like the next DJ's here, so we got to finish up. Hey, all right.
There's protest outside.
Oh, yeah.
Out there at 16th and Mission, we've got our
social. Hey, so, yeah, phone number and website again. Phone number and website again.
Okay, 415-567-4577 in the Bay, in San Francisco Bay Area, up north. That'd be you, Paul.
Yeah, my number is number that you can get to 707-540-9061.
And check out cagreens.org for information about the gathering.
All right. Well, thanks, Paul and Don. And so next weekend's the place to be. The place 15th, to be.
16th and 17th.
Hey, we got another call.
There.
Yeah, we got another call coming in, Paul. I'm going to say goodnight.
All right.
See you, Paul.
See you there. Bye.
Night.
Yeah.
All right. You're on the air. Do you want to be on the air?
I can be.
Yeah. What do you want to talk about?
Well, I mean, I'm at the interconvention event. Did anybody call you from there yet?
No, not offhand. What's it about?
Well, we're here on the corner of 16th and Mission. I would say there's 150 people here, maybe more. Lots of folks with...